age, I did a Google search, right? Some of you saw that coming. And that search offered more than I ever could have guessed about persistence. I found one website that said, and I quote, "Talent, genius, and education mean very little when persistence is lacking." And then it went on to list the 7 habits of persistent people. I just want to share 3. Persistent people apparently have all-consuming vision. They have burning desire. They have inner confidence. And then the website went on to actually define a persistent person, and I quote, "Persistent people have a goal or vision in mind that motivates and drives them. They are often dreamers and visionaries who see their lives as having a higher purpose than simply earning a living. Their vision is deeply ingrained, and they focus on it constantly and with great emotion and energy." Unquote. So there you have it. Persistent people dream, they have a vision, and they stick with it. I also read how, in particular, there are 2 different types of people thought of as persistent. One would be athletes who spend hours learning and honing their skills. And the other, musicians who spend hours practicing their technique, improving their musicianship. I have to say, as a musician, I like that definition or that example. And it makes sense to me. I know musicians spend a lot of time preparation, practicing, developing musicianship. It is an art that requires discipline, to commit regular time to one's art. It is demanding, but it's also highly rewarding. And it rests on a vision of where the musician hopes to be going, what the musician hopes to be achieving. That's all fine, and that's well and good, and that was a fun thing for me to do. But what does that say to us this morning? And I wonder, do we think of our lives of faith as being about persistence? Certainly, the Apostle Paul compares following Jesus to running a marathon. That's not for the faint of heart. It requires great persistence. And then we have examples of persistence called for in all of our lessons today. In Genesis, Jacob wrestles all night long with a man. And despite this long match, there's no winner. It's a draw. It's a draw, at least, until the opponent hits Jacob's hip and puts it out of the socket, causing him to limp the rest of his life. At daybreak, his opponent tells Jacob, "Let me go." But Jacob won't. He's persistent. He won't let go until the man blesses him. So the opponent does this and then says, "You will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Jacob understands now he's been wrestling all night with God. And Jacob has been blessed by God, given a new name, and in Scripture, a new name is a sign of a deepened relationship with God. Through his persistence, Jacob has this encounter with God and is blessed. And so Jacob calls the place where this happened Peniel, which literally means the face of God. Because at Peniel, Jacob saw the face of God and lived. Then in Psalm 121, that beautiful psalm, we hear that God is persistent and always faithful. God watches over us without sleeping. God will preserve us from all evil, will keep us safe day and night, will watch over our going out and our coming in. God is utterly persistent in watching over and caring for God's people. And then the epistle, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether time is favorable or unfavorable. And the author warns that there's going to come a time when people have itching ears. What a great phrase. Itching ears, a time when people look for teachers who will confirm what they want to hear. And we are urged as followers of Jesus not to let our ears be itchy, but to persist in our faith, not be distracted by the call of others, not stray from faithfully following Jesus. And that brings us to the gospel with an interesting parable. Jesus tells his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. And the parable is about the persistence of a widow. A widow who does not lose heart with an unjust judge. A judge who doesn't fear God, doesn't care about her, frankly doesn't care about anyone but himself. This widow is coming before the unjust judge seeking justice, justice against an opponent. And at first the judge refuses. He has no interest in this need of the widow's. But then he comes to realize over time that she is going to keep coming back and bothering him. She's going to wear him out over time. So he grants her request. And he does this not for justice, not for concern for her, but frankly to spare himself. He knows the woman is persistent and will not relent. Then Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. Jesus is teaching that if the unjust judge hears the widow and does what she asks, how much more will God listen to the prayers of God's people and act? There's a great difference between God and that unjust judge. God actually cares for God's people. God cares about people's well-being. God cares about the need for justice in our world. Unlike that unjust judge who cares about no one, God actually cares and listens and hears our prayers because of God's love and care for us. God, it turns out, listens to us because God also is persistent. Persistent in caring for us. Persistent in desiring justice, in showing compassion. And so God longs for all of God's people to know the liberating power of God's love. God watches over us, cares for us, and always stands ready to hear us. In fact, we're told in one of the collects, God is more ready to hear than we are to pray. I think all this reminds us that our vocation is to pray regularly. And Jesus is offering us words of encouragement. Words encouraging us not to lose heart. Don't give up. Just like the athlete, just like the musician, our life's purpose is to be disciplined, to spend time in prayer with God, living with the discipline of that runner preparing for the marathon, the musician preparing for that concert. So we are to devote ourselves to prayer. Now, if you're like me, there are times when prayer is easy. It takes no effort to set aside that time. It's easy to enter into God's presence. And if you're like me, there are those other times, those seasons when it is a struggle to sit and pray. In those fallow and dry times, it takes effort. It requires discipline. And sometimes, frankly, the only prayer we can utter is to ask God to rekindle within us the desire to pray. Ask any athlete, ask any musician, and I'm pretty sure they will say they have the same experience. Sometimes it's easy to be disciplined. It's energizing, centering, grounding. Other times, just showing up is a struggle. Being persistent means we just carry on. We move through all of those times, even the difficult ones. And often, that struggle, that wrestling with God through the night, leads us to a deeper, more profound place, deeper, more profound relationship with God, just as happened to Jacob. We are indeed blessed when we are persistent in the struggle. Jesus tells us this parable because he understands it can be hard to pray. He understands it can be difficult in our frenetic world to have space and time. He understands it's not always easy for us to come before God in God's presence. And so Jesus looks on us with compassion. Jesus invites us to be faithful, but understands all that we struggle with. Jesus knows that we can forget even the power of prayer, the power it has to change us, to change the world. How sometimes it may seem like our prayers are paltry in the face of the needs of the world. But Jesus, through his life and example, reminds us of the importance for prayer. He regularly set aside time for prayer in his earthly life and ministry. He reminds us that prayer is essential for us as God's people. It is the foundation, the undergirding of our lives. And it is in itself transformative and powerful. And it comes from God. God is the one who plants within us the desire to pray, the desire to have union with God. It is God who sustains us in our prayer. And though it is mysterious, somehow prayer changes the one who prays. In praying to God for ourselves and for those seeking God's justice, we are transformed. Our identity in Christ becomes clearer. Our vision is focused in the world through the lens of God's love and compassion and justice. By praying, our horizons are expanded. We are lifted outside ourselves and brought into union with God and with other people. In praying for those in need, we are connected with them and God's intentions for them. Through prayer, we are united with the mystical body of Christ. We are brought into community with all of God's people across time and space. And so this day, Jesus encourages us and says, do not lose heart. And also says, don't worry if it seems your prayers are not answered. God will answer our prayers, though maybe not always as we expect, maybe not in ways we even see or understand. And there are times God does not grant our request, and we don't know why. That is for God's wisdom and God's understanding. God's purposes for all of creation. Reflecting on today's readings on the blog Journey with Jesus, Debbie Thomas suggests that wrestling is in fact a positive image for our persistence as followers of Jesus. And I want to close with a quote. She writes, I quote, "What all of these readings suggest to me is that God delights in those who dare to strive with God, to contend with him, to wrestle with him. Wrestling, as it turns out, is not a bad or even a scary thing because it's the opposite of apathy, the opposite of resignation. It's even the opposite of loneliness, to fight with God, to show up day after day in prayer, to wrestle with our resistance in the darkest hours of the night, is to stay close, is to keep our arms wrapped tight around the one who alone can bless us. Fighting means we haven't walked away. Fighting means we still have skin in the game. When the Son of Man comes, Jesus asks at the end of the parable, will he find faith on the earth? Faith that persists, faith that contends, faith that wrestles? This is the question that matters. Will he find such faith in us? Unquote. This is indeed the question that matters, one that's well worth pondering. And in that pondering, may we not lose heart, but be persistent in our prayers for ourselves and for one another and for the world. And may we persistently run this earthly race until at the last we too come to see God face to face. Amen.